words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's gospel reading from Matthew about Jesus walking on water is probably the most famous Jesus story in the Western world. Somewhere out there is a bumper sticker that says, "Next time you think you're perfect, try walking on water." After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus seeks time alone to fortify his spirit. So he sends his disciples ahead in a boat while he goes up on the mountain by himself to pray. As night falls, a gale blows down the Jordan Valley, creating a strong wind across the Sea of Galilee with battering waves. By this time, the boat is far from land, and any progress toward their destination impeded, for the wind is against them. Early in the morning, in the fourth night watch, from 3 to 6 a.m., the disciples see Jesus coming, walking toward them on the sea. They're terrified, thinking him a ghost. But immediately Jesus speaks to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." It is I, or I am, serves as God's divine name in Hebrew scripture. While the story of Jesus walking on water bears some similarities to resurrection stories, the disciples being initially frightened and not recognizing Jesus, the event is used in the gospel accounts to foreshadow later witness to the lordship of Jesus. After pulling Jesus and Peter into the boat, the disciples bow down and worship Jesus, confessing, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Their confession here anticipates that of Peter, "You are the Messiah," two chapters later. The Gospels of Mark and John also tell the story about Jesus walking on water, but do not include the incident about Peter. The first disciple tries to imitate his master. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus says, "Come." So Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking on water towards Jesus. But then he begins to recognize the danger: strong winds and deep water. And now, frightened, he starts to sink. "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and catches Peter, saying, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" The storm ceases as Jesus and Peter enter the boat. Now, an Old Testament thought, wind and sea are symbols of chaos and death. The sea itself connotes the forces of chaos, held at bay in the creative act of God, but always threatening. Just being on the sea is itself a threat. The one who walks on the sea overcomes the monster of chaos. To the ancient mind, only God walks on water. Jesus does what only God can do and speaks with the voice of God, I am. Peter, as always, is impetuous. He jumps out of the boat to go to Jesus. He tries to walk on water and keep his eyes on Jesus. But he has doubt. Lord, if it is you, distracted by the fierce elements, fear causes Peter to vacillate, and he sinks quickly. His doubt is not a denial of faith, but a lack of sufficient trust that his Lord would always be nearby to rescue him with outstretched arm. Especially during the time when the Gospels are written, the small boat of the church is battered by waves of hostility and persecution. Strong faith in God's outstretched arm means survival, hope. However, this story carries a cautionary tale. Often there is perpetuated an almost demonic misunderstanding of faith, which Matthew warns us against. It is not, if Peter had enough faith, he could have walked on water. Nor is it, if we had enough faith, we could overcome all our problems in spectacular ways. My friends, our lives are ordered by the laws of physics and biology as God intended, and subject to the vagaries of accident, disease, aging, and circumstance. When we start to sink, such fantasy encourages us to feel guilt due to our lack of faith. Faith is not being able to walk on water. Only God can do that. Faith is daring to trust that God is in us, with us in the boat, as it makes its way through the storm, battered by waves. The boat is the church, the purveyor of souls, made actual by the community of faith, the body of Christ. We are created, you and I, to be in relationship. Life is communal, in calm or fury, wherever two or three are gathered in my name. We are each marked as Christ's own forever. In Christ is our hope, and not the chaos of the deep or the gates of hell can prevail against him. With Jesus in the boat, the storm will cease. A 4th-century bishop, St. Basil, writes, God the Creator arranged things so that we need each other. Jesus needs the disciples, and God knows they need him. When Queen Elizabeth I was defending England against invasion by the Spanish Armada in 1588, she hastily enlisted shipwrights to augment her fleet. And then, when the Spanish threat was over, the frugal queen abruptly dismissed them. Now unemployed, some were put to work building Anglican churches, and many parish ceilings today reflect an inverted ship's hull. The nave of a Christian church is where the congregation sits. And its Latin meaning is ship or boat. Our modern word navy is derived from the same Latin noun. We are left with the haunting command of Jesus, come. Peter didn't succeed, but at least he had enough faith in Jesus to jump out of the boat into the stormy sea. The others didn't even try. I wouldn't have either. We're all in the same boat. It's safer to stay in the boat than risking walking in new and different ways. It's the reasonable and more prudent thing to do. But it is not transformational. Our faith in Jesus rubs against his teaching. Those who would save their life will lose it. And those who would lose their life for my sake will find it. Playing it safe is probably not what the Son of God is calling us to do. One clergyman, the Reverend Tim Button Harrison, writes, "Have you ever walked on water? I think I have, and many others have too. If walking on water means stepping out in faith, if walking on water truly means letting the Spirit of Christ determine our steps, if walking on water truly means the storms and the floods and the disturbances of life do not finally define us, God does. Any of us who is a leader in the church is forever indebted to Peter for that daring step out of the boat and into faith. For in so doing, Peter has shown from the very start that the highest authority is not the storm, nor the wind, nor even the church. The highest authority, the true author of our lives, is Jesus Christ." I remember catching a plane back to Vero Beach, Florida, in early 1976. I had just concluded an unsatisfactory interview for a teaching position at a private school for girls in Virginia and was returning to a minimum wage job mopping floors at a local 7-Eleven. A former college classmate of mine was the new headmaster, so getting the job sounded promising, even likely. Having married a year earlier and now essentially unemployed, I was eager. But the position offered me was not exciting, and my academic credentials didn't match well with their needs. Getting on the plane in frustration, I asked myself, "What in God's name do you want to do, Reed?" At least I included God in it. After barely a moment, the answer came, "I want to go to seminary." And I did. I stepped out of the boat in faith, and the lives of my family were changed. There were some stormy times, to be sure. That decision was costly. It had consequences. Giving up financial security, family tradition, and the niceties of social privilege. At least I thought so. The weight of the cross was borne by my wife and two sons as much as by me. Jesus cautions his would-be disciples, before acting, it's prudent to count the cost. Then, if still persuaded, become a disciple. Common advice offered seminarians: if you can do anything else, do it. It's a reality check on your call. Note, it may be your calling, but not necessarily your wife's or your son's. Marriage among my seminary classmates failed at a higher rate than the general public's. And mine did too. Putting a collar around your neck means you're a target for the evil one. Spiritual warfare is real. I'm sure there were times when family members regretted my decision. But I never did. I've been blessed, never reached burnout or tasted of a bitter spirit. As my age advances, so have my blessings, including family. And certainty in the truth of Jesus Christ as the Lord of life in this world and the world to come. I'm privileged to serve the Good Shepherd and his sheepfolds, now including Holy Innocents. God said to his people through the prophet Ezekiel, "A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you." And all God's children cry, Amen.